Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, a Sports Hub simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. Once again, Mike and Tony are out. You have me, Big Jim Murray, in the facilitator chair. That's what we call this now. It's no longer the a-hole chair. It's the facilitator chair, along with three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson in the Maz chair, and Marshall Hook in my normal spot with the updates and chiming in at you at 617-779-0985.
Jim, we need to change that.
I'm just having fun
the facilitator
with it,
Jimmy. Chair.
I know.
Get out of here.
I can tell it's actually pissing you off.
Oh, gross. Facilitate on a podcast, not on a radio show.
He got so shook by that Bruins commercial, among other things.
Too young. Too young.
I know. All right. You set the table at 617-779-0985 as it is a agenda-free Friday driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life. BernardiAutoGroup.com. Anthony in Medford on last night's Patriots preseason win over the Lions. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, Big Jim?
Hi.
I love it last night. You know, I'm excited, too, but I know it was the Lions, and it was the second and third team. But Ted mentioned he likes the way the defense had ended last year and the way they're playing the pressure defense, which he says the two guys, four guys, the way the two there. I like it, too, and I believe they can blitz because they have the guys that can cover. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And besides Gilmore, they got plenty of guys back there. The only thing I'm worried about is Jackson and the guy crossing, they're a little bit hands-on. I hope they taught him, you know what I mean? You can't bring in tackle a guy and stuff. And I hope they keep some of these young guys. I like the kid out of UConn, that safety. I don't know if I can pronounce his name, Malafanu.
Yeah, pretty good, Anthony. Obi Malafanu, who they got from the Raiders. You know who I didn't think was all that great last night? And you tell me, Ted. Maybe my eyes were deceiving me. But their second-round pick, Juwan Williams. I thought a few times we're like, eh, I don't know. I mean, it feels like he could be more of a project.
I was high on him because one of the things I really liked the draft class. He's the first thing that jumps out at you.
Yeah,
his size, right? I mean, you just go, oh my god, this guy's enormous. So you think of all the different things they could do. I maybe naively said when they drafted him, mark my words, when the Patriots play Kansas City Chiefs, whenever that is, November, December, that Juwan Williams will be covering their all world tight end.
Travis Kelce.
So I'm not so sure about that. He's not had a very good camp. He's been very inconsistent. So yeah, he gave up a pass play. He was involved in that challenge call that was questionable whether or not he did interfere or not. But he did have a couple of nice open field tackles. I will say that. So there was a couple of plays early in the game where it was him and the running back one on one. He broke down and made some. And that's. You can kind of hang your hat on that. Like, his coverage wasn't awful, but his open field tackling, I thought, was on display last night. So that's a good sign. He's got a long way to go, though, for sure.
Let's go to Jordan in Florida with the Patriots thought. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, how much are you guys looking forward to the Week 10 game at Philadelphia? Because I think it'd be great for the Patriots to get some Super Bowl revenge, especially after Lane Johnson's comments that the Patriots don't have fun. And my question for Ted is, do players have a different mindset going into a regular season game that's also a Super Bowl rematch?
You know what? It never factors in, bud. Yeah, it just never – it's never really a thing. I mean, unless there's some kind of I mean, unless the opposing players or there's something eventful that happened where they
if Malcolm Butler was still here, maybe it'd be a different story.
Right.
We're also now what? We'd be two, three years seasons removed from that.
So it really doesn't factor in at all. So that's not even going to be entering guys' minds.
Yeah, I'm only looking forward to it because it's my one road game I do. I've done a road game with one of my buddies for close to 15 years now, Ted, and we're doing Philly this year just because. Like, I think for fans, this is one of the lesser road slates in a while. Like, there's always one sexy game. Like, last year it was Tennessee. And let me tell you, that weekend in Nashville, it was like Patriots South. I went to Seattle like 7 years ago. Like,
Patriots travel, boy.
Yeah, they do now.
Man.
You know, growing up in your era, like, you know, not many people, I think, were doing many road games.
Nope.
Those that were the hardest of hardcore. But during this era, people definitely do it now. This year, there weren't really any sexy games. Mm-hmm. It's D.C., it's Baltimore, I guess. So I was like, Philly, I can swing this. And I got a buddy down there that lives down there. Might be able to hopefully hook up a luxury box. So I'm hoping that can
happen. That'd be a good time.
Yeah.
Philly's a good time. I will say this. I kind of like what Philly's doing. I like that Doug Peterson's got some balls. I think Carson Wentz. You've heard all these reports about Carson Wentz and maybe not being the most likable guy. I think it's all bull crap. I think his kids has got a special talent. I think he can be a good player in the league.
Yeah, I do too. I just think he might have the Garoppolo fragility thing. It just feels like every time you look up, he's getting dinged up, and it's not just a small injury. He's out for weeks and weeks and weeks.
But don't you like the makeup of him?
Yes.
Regardless of the injuries, he's tough. He's poised. He's got confidence. He seems like a guy that's easy to root for.
Yeah. Yeah. And, and that's another guy he crow on because coming out and when he got drafted so high, I was like, oh, please, from this small school.
Yeah,
and
North Dakota.
Played so little at North Dakota, like, he'll suck. Yeah. No, he looks like he could be the real deal as long as he stays healthy. We have Harry in the car with the Red Sox thought. Hey, Harry.
Hey, how are you? Hey, Ted, I love it when you talk football. You know your football, you know?
Thank you,
but
sir.
But sometimes when I hear you and Flynn talk about baseball, you make me cringe. 40 games left in the season and they've cashed out. 5.5 games behind. The manager was the manager of the year last year. You think he says, oh, okay, see you in February. Let's just play this out. I know they're playing terrible, but they got to show something. This is the time.
Oh, and Harry, and there's a lot of terrible teams still on their schedule. Thank you very much, American League. Look, they're not getting the AL East. They still are in play here. They've caught up some ground here. They're 5.5 back. They still could get that second wild card spot. It's within reach. I just think that there's been an inherent gutlessness, and not just the bullpen, which I've dubbed the Wheel of Gutless Bums for now two seasons going now, Ted. But I think this team as a whole, outside of like a handful of players like Bogarts, Devers, Vasquez, Eduardo Rodriguez, like they've underachieved. There's an inherent gutlessness, and especially with the pitching staff as a whole. And I have numbers to back it up. In the 12 games since Chris Sale lost to the Yankees, again, good performance from him last night, the Red Sox pitchers, did you know, have had 28 opportunities for what they call a shutdown inning. They've given up at least one run 15 times. That is a failure rate of 53.6%. There's no real shutdown guy, and even when they do look like a shutdown guy, like Chris Sale last night, well, they can't repeat it the second, in their next start. You know, they're so inconsistent. There's really no one you can really trust. Maybe Rodriguez at times. Like, I don't know. I just don't see it. It doesn't feel like it was their year, especially with the terrible start that they got off to. I know 5.5, they can make it up, and other teams could tank here. And we're talking about teams like the A's and the Rays. How much do you believe in them? I just don't see it happening.
I really don't. And the reason I was kind of so dramatic in saying that he's checked out this season's over, because there's been signs that this team is checking out. I mean, you hear reports that Dombrowski's gone. You hear that they made no significant moves at the trade deadline. So that signals that they're going to stay pat. And I get at the time, maybe you could see the team maybe kind of doing some good things. And then after that decision to not really go out and get anybody at the trade deadline, you saw what happened after that. And it's just some of the behavior from the players. I mean, there's a lot of lackadaisical kind of effort. There's been a million examples of guys where you just kind of question whether or not they want. I mean, there's reports that the Mookie Betts is illegit. I got a push notification that the Red Sox are thinking seriously of trading Mookie Betts. These are all signs that the players, the front office is kind of maybe giving up on this season. So when I say that, there's a lot of evidence to maybe back up what I'm trying to say. I'm
glad you just mentioned that, because I got that same notification. It's something I want to touch on. I didn't think we were going to do all that much Red Sox, but this is worth talking about, because there is now an MLB insider that says, yes, the Red Sox are going to listen and take those phone calls on Mookie Betts this winter. Mookie's not going anywhere. We'll get to that along with your phone calls coming up on an agenda-free Friday here on Felger and Mass.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Again, it's Jim Murray and Ted Johnson in for Mike and Tony today. We got Marshall Hook alongside as well. And you at 617-779-0985. So I wanted to touch on this quickly. I didn't think we were going to do much Red Sox today other than talking about David Price and his cyst on his wrist and Chris Sale in a game that basically nobody watched last night. And it was dominant, perfect, 2 hours, 16 minutes. And I figured that'd be it. But now we have this. Mookie Betts in a different uniform. A lot of people get, real adverse reactions to this, Ted, when you dare bring this up. How do you know Mookie's not happy here? Why would they do this? He's coming off an MVP season. Sure, it's a little bit down for him this year, but no, he's who you build around. No. I believe that they should take phone calls on Mookie Betts, because I don't think he wants to be here long term. Mm-hmm. And you need to try to get some kind of return for him. Now that the trade deadline has passed and we're going to do it this year, this winter they should take those calls. That's just me speculating about it, and others too. We're just, morons on sports radio. How about someone that's actually connected to Major League Baseball? How about this from John Morosi of MLB Network?
Joel Sherman reported that Mookie turned down an 8-year, $200 million contract extension offer, and it seems very likely to go to free agency at this point in time. He is a free agent after the coming season, after 2020. And so I was told by sources today that there's a belief in the industry. Now, this is not coming from the Red Sox, but they believe at this point in time that the Red Sox will at least listen to trade offers for Mookie in the winter. Now, while that may sound absurd, here's the reasoning. You think about the Red Sox pitching staff. Porcello has struggled. Price is on the injured list right now. We've seen Sale have, objectively, the worst year of his career. And if the Red Sox believe that their pitching is simply not good enough looking forward to be able to compete against the Yankees, against the Rays, they may have to make the very dramatic decision, if they don't want to extend their payroll further, which, by the way, they're already spending the most money in baseball this year, that one of their best ways to get young pitching in would be potentially, yes, to put Mookie on the trade market this winter. Not saying there's going to be a deal, but I believe, Mike, from what I've been told by sources today, that there's a pretty strong belief at least Mookie will be available. And one team I'll mention, the Atlanta Braves. They've got so much great young pitching. They also have a great young outfielder, Christian Pache, at the top end of the minor leagues. If the Red Sox could get Ian Anderson and Christian Pache, again, they're just prospect names right now, but I believe the Red Sox would have to at least consider it, especially because you think about the Braves' perspective. Mookie's from Nashville. That might be one place where the long-term extension could fit very nicely with Mookie from a geographic standpoint.
Yeah, I'm glad he added that, too, because they'd be doing him a solid, because, Mookie's from Tennessee, obviously geographically close to Georgia and Atlanta, going down there, be a stud down there, and with not a lot of people on his back and questioning his performance on a day-to-day basis, it'd be a perfect fit for Mookie Betts.
I think that's just a great point. There are guys that can handle the market. There's guys that can't, particularly, I think, in the baseball market. There's guys – Who was the, gosh, I almost think, who was the shortstop that was from the Atlanta Braves that came here who did not do
it? Edgar Renteria? Oh,
thank you.
Like, he came from the Cardinals, I should say. But okay, he went to the Braves.
Forgive me. I thought he came from the Braves.
It's okay.
But he was a guy that just, the big market was too much for him, right? I mean, the spotlight, there's a lot of guys that can't, not maybe they just can't handle it, they just don't like it. And so I think you bring up a good point. It just, it never has felt, and I feel like it, I get the same feeling, Jim, that Mookie doesn't want to be here. And so they've given him some, you know, ample opportunities to sign a long-term mega deal. And he's, and it's kind of surprising that maybe he hasn't jumped on, because a lot of people are saying that players are signing more extensions now than ever, because you saw what happened on the free agent market this year with a lot of the bigger names. I mean, it took, I mean, eventually Manny Machado got his big deal, and eventually Bryce Harper got his deal. But those guys, I mean, there was a couple of big name pitchers, Dallas Keuchel that was on the market forever. Kimbrel was on the market forever. So I think players are more nervous about going out on the open market now more than ever. And so guys are signing long-term deals. Mookie doesn't, he seems hell-bent on going into free agency. And if that's the case, try and get something in return for him.
I mean, and the way he can look at it is that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado were out on the market forever, but they eventually got their money. They eventually got their money and their years. So he can look at it in a way that, you know, Dallas Keuchel wasn't out there. So that's probably why David Price didn't head out there. That's probably why Chris Sale was willing to sign an extension. But those two hitters, they were out there for a long time, but they got their money in the end.
The farm system's barren. They need pitching. You know, John Morosi mentions the Braves there, and they're apparently rich in that in terms of young talent. They'd be crazy not to take phone calls. Like, they have to whoever the GM's to be, because it feels like Dabrowski, it's a formality, he's going to be fired. Whoever that next guy is, well, they should at least listen. They should at least listen. They have to get some kind of return on Mookie Betts, because, again, I've felt for a while now he's not going to sign a long-term deal there. So add that to the conversation if you want to join us on that on an agenda-free Friday at 617-779-0985. Bob and Needham with a Red Sox thought. Hey, Bob.
How you doing, Mary? The good sign about Sale last night, in my opinion, was his last pitch was 97 miles an hour. So I think it's not structural. I think it, you know, he doesn't have an injury. In other words, I think that it might be mechanical, and it's not that bad, because, you know, at some point we all thought it might be his shoulder or whatever. So that's a good sign for the Red Sox. Secondly, by the way, did you see, I mean, are they rebooting Miami Vice, by the way? What was Belichick wearing in the postgame? A pink pink blazer with blue stripes. Are they reinventing Sonny Crockett? The only thing
No, that was a pretty wild jacket he had on that postgame press conference. I think I've seen that before.
He's taking chances with his fashion. He used to all the time. Remember those, like, sweaters that had the stripes in them? He always had them, like,
I think that's the
two sizes too small
that's
sometimes.
The influence of his better half right now.
Yeah.
You know, Linda might be dressing Bill right now, or at least setting us up with the clothes.
Big time. So I think he's done better, although I'm with the caller on that. It was a little questionable, the sports coat he wore last night. A little questionable.
Jesse in New Bedford with some thoughts on last night's Patriots preseason game. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing? Just a couple things real quick. I thought the Patriots, I know it's preseason and all that, but what do your eyes tell you? Your eyes tell you that they look sharp, defense and offense. Stedman looks good. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with Brady year to year, but if he could learn under Brady for a few years, you know, who knows? I know, you know, everybody's going to say don't get ahead of yourself, but what does your eye test tell you? Your eye test tells you he looks good. He does a few of the mechanics right, his reads. Just the whole team looks good. And I think they made a big improvement from last year. We made no big splashes on free agency, but we picked up little guys here, little guys there, that I think are going to gel together very well. And the biggest replacement we had is we lost Coach Flo, and our defense just looked different last year, especially in the Super Bowl. And Gerard Mayo, who's linebacker's coach, you know, he don't get the title as DC right away in New England, but he looks like he's so far so good there.
Yeah, and Jesse, on that, I'm going to let you go on that. I'll tell you what Gerard Mayo looks to me. It just looks odd. Like, for a guy that had kind of a cushy TV gig with NBC Sports Boston doing quick slants with Tom Curran, like, dude, you had it good. Like, you wanted to go back to this? Yeah. Like, in the crazy hours? You're going back to Shawshank? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it is. It's such a huge lifestyle choice. People all the time, once you get into coaching, it's like, well, I love my kids, and I want to see my kids. And not the coaches don't, but you don't get to see them ever. I mean, once you get into that world, it is very hard to get out. And it, for my, you know, personality, it doesn't fit well. But, you know, Gerard, you know, you wonder if Greg Schiano doesn't, you know, basically back out of the defensive coordinator job, is Gerard Mayo hired? He might be. I don't know. But here's the thing. Do we know if Gerard Mayo – I'm so curious to know. I've asked beat writers to get on this and to let me know when they find out who addresses the defense after the team meetings. Like, who runs the defensive meetings? I would love to know.
I would think Bill, but who knows? I mean, maybe it's his son at this point.
I would be shocked. I would love to know that. I'd be fascinated to know that. But who is running the defensive meetings after the team meetings? Is it Bill? Nobody's gotten confirmation on that. I would be curious. But every time that the defense would make a big play, they always flash to who last night? Gerard Mayo.
Yeah.
His title is middle linebackers coach. I would be shocked, unless Gerard Mayo is just on a different level, that Bill would give a guy who's the first time ever coaching the keys to the car and running the defense. I just don't see that being the case, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
And caller, it's Jarrett Stidham. Not Stedman, the longtime partner of one Oprah Winfrey. I know Oprah. Tom knows Oprah. Oprah knows Stedman. All right, Jim Gray, we get it.
The best. Jim Gray impersonations are the best.
He looked good. You know, if nothing else, so he was, you know, the caller was saying, like, what do your eyes tell you? Well, with Jarrett Stidham, again, not Stedman, he looked confident and comfortable. And that's what I want to see with any rookie quarterback. You know, like, I'm a fan of the league, so I always, especially teams that, like, oh, so I saw a little bit of Kyler Murray last night doing the post game. So we had it up on NFL Network of the Arizona Cardinals, who they selected first. Kid looked confident. Kid looked comfortable. And a lot of that has to do with the offensive line play. But look at those, you know, quarterbacks that Detroit's rolling out there last night. They looked panicked. You didn't see panic from Jarrett Stidham last night, and that's what impressed me more than anything else.
And there was, I mean, one of the biggest criticisms is that he likes to vacate the pocket under pressure. He doesn't maybe, you know, climb the ladder, step up into it. He likes to vacate. And sometimes he perceives pressure that's not really there and will vacate the, like old Matt Schaub used to do. But, there was a play in there last night where he had a defender coming right at him, and I forgot who he hit, like on a dig route, and he stood in there strong and tall. Look, I think what you're hitting it. What you want to see out of this kid, did he look overwhelmed? Did he look like it was too much for him? Did he look like from an operational standpoint he knew what the hell he was doing? Did he command the offense? He did all those things. It's one game, but he checked the box with all those things.
617-779-0985. We have one open phone line if you want to join us here in an agenda-free Friday. We've been mostly Patriots after their dominant preseason win 30-3 over the Detroit Lions last night. You want to talk about that, some of the things you liked, anything you might not have liked. Wasn't a lot not to like last night. We'll take your calls on that. Red Sox in a game that I feel nobody watched, but hey, how about that? Maybe their best game in a while and came in at 2 hours, 16 minutes. Go figure. Perfect encapsulation of the Red Sox in 2019. And now news that they could be taking calls on Mookie Betts this coming offseason as well. I do want to get to this Antonio Brown story that's been bubbling up here. Feels like the Raiders already got a problem on their hands with this guy. So we'll get to that after the Sports Hub headlines with Marshall Hook here in an agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mass.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub, simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Again, Jim Murray and Ted Johnson in for
Felger and Maz today. Got Marshall Hook in my normal spot as well. And you, 617-779-0985. So I mentioned there's a story about Antonio Brown, this guy. Antonio Brown, he's as talented as he is problematic. The guy is just the worst, though. Like, I don't get, like, nuts about the diva wide receivers. Like, the guy who's normally here, Felger, like, can't stand him. You know, like, he despises Randy Moss. He's one of my favorite NFL players ever. But when they get to be this big of pains in the ass as well, he does get a point. And just as a side note, too, Antonio Brown just serves as a reminder of the stupidity and how in over his head that John Gruden is coming back all these years later to be head coach of the Raiders. You'd rather pay this guy than Khalil Mack, you moron. So the day starts off with news out of the Las Vegas Review-Journal that Antonio Brown has gone, and I'm using the quote from the writer here, radio silent. And the Raiders are unsure of his whereabouts, along with several other starters. Brown not going to be in uniform for the preseason opener against the Rams, but he had gone radio silent since he suffered a result. The bottom of his feet were burned as a result of not wearing proper footwear to a cryotherapy session. So they've apparently since talked to him, because here's the latest thing with Antonio Brown and what his beef is. According to Sports Illustrated's Michael Silver, Antonio Brown has expressed vocal frustration over the NFL's new helmet rules, and that has contributed to a disconnect with the Raiders. Reading here from Silver's thread, Brown has been lashing out over the league's new helmet requirements. Of the 32 players required to change helmets this year, including Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, only Brown has refused to comply, going as far to repaint his old helmet in hopes the Raiders wouldn't notice. It didn't work. Shocker. One member of the Raiders organization called Brown's continued resistance, honestly, the most insane thing I've ever heard, quote, while another noted that Brown hasn't been here for a while. No one knows where he's at. Silver goes on to add that Brown is also ruffled feathers by barely paying attention in team meetings, often showing up late while spending most of the time glued to his phone. The Raiders may be feeling buyer's remorse after seeing some of Brown's recent antics. ESPN's Adam Schefter just tweeting, Brown has also told the Raiders he, quote, will not play football again if the NFL does not allow him to wear his preferred helmet. Oh my God, this guy. And as a former player, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, this has to make you nuts to hear something like this.
Yeah, this is, look, I mean, I'm pro player for a lot of things, but definitely not for these antics. There's something clearly just off with this guy. He's lost his mind. It's kind of been a slow decline. You've seen it kind of coming in the last couple of years. Just his behavior has been so odd. The way he was able to basically shoot his way out of Pittsburgh, you just don't see that very often. How many players are able to just, you know, complain enough on social media and through the press to get to such an unattainable type of situation that it, with the talent that he has, that it forces that team to get rid of you. He got traded, right?
To the
Oakland Raiders.
Initially they tried to trade him to Buffalo.
Right.
Imagine this for the first time in, you know, decades. Buffalo Bills fans are probably like, yay us today, because they didn't have to deal with this a-hole.
I'm always a little bit surprised. A little bit surprised when teams are willing to trade for a guy that they've never had in-house, that they've never dealt with day-to-day, that they don't know him as intimately as the team that is trading him knows him, that they're willing to give up valuable assets to bring in a guy who's got, let's face it, a risky behavior, who's got a checkered past, we've seen him be difficult to deal with on the field. But this is also very much a Raider type of move, right? I mean, Al Davis would be right up his alley. So, but it certainly looks like John Gruden is in way over his head. And so he brought in not only Antonio Brown, who it looks like is just, they're off to a smashing success so far. He brought in Richie Incognito and Vontaze Burfict, right? So they brought in three guys that have never really been easy to deal with on any of their teams in the past, and he brings them on a team where Gruden, the game has passed him by. If you look at some of the audio, the trailer for the first episode of Hard Knocks, I'm a big fan of that show. I love that show. It's produced so well, and I think it's the most accurate portrayal of really how life is in the NFL. The trailer for the first episode, it already came out this week on HBO, is John Gruden giving a talk to these guys, and he's making reference to this isn't, you know, Stony Brook, and we're not playing this. This is the NFL. And I'm sitting there going, I would have tuned out to that guy the first 5 minutes of him in a team meeting, because the way he sends his messages, this
it's so corny.
It's so corny. Guys don't want to listen to that. And I all due respect, because Pete's won a Super Bowl, and he's done great things at USC before he got to Seattle. Sometimes that was how Pete's speeches were. You'd just be like, "Oh, Pete, are you really going with this? Like, we're all bros here, man.
Like, treat us
that
like
stuff
professionals.
Works.
Yeah,
that stuff like works in college. It doesn't work in the NFL. So I just think I think it's going to be an utter disaster. And do you remember what Mark Davis said the first day of the press conference when he hired John Gruden?
No,
this is a big effing deal. Like, he was so proud. So proud. Like, it was this big coup to sign John Gruden, who hadn't coached in, what, 8 or 10 years, to a 10-year, $100 million contract, as if this was going to change everything. And they won 4 games last year. Derek Carr looks miserable. I don't think him and John Gruden are on the same page.
He was never the same after that knee injury that year. They went 12-4, whatever it was, which was a shame because he looked like he was, you know, kid could
play.
Kid had a real, you know, real future in front of him. And then since that, he's turned back into a pumpkin. And just John Gruden looks in over his head. How he handled the Khalil Mack thing last year, it's like, hey, you're an idiot. And I think he has continued to prove that. And signing Antonio Brown and giving him that big money that they did after that deal, like, you got to be nuts. Like, this guy. He's going to refuse to play unless he gets to play in the helmet. No, just assimilate. You think Brady wants to play in this new helmet? No, but he assimilates because he's a professional. Why don't you do the same, Antonio Brown? 617-779-0985. You want to join us, add this to the conversation as well. Nelson wants to talk Pats, though. Hey, Nelson.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I just want to touch on three quick topics and then see how you guys feel about it. So everyone's been talking about Brady's contract, but no one's really tapped on the fact that there's not a no-trade clause on his contract. And I don't know, just me personally, I feel like Tom Brady, like Chad was saying, he has an ego. I think he wanted to go out like Michael Jordan and make the big money because he has been underpaid. The guy does love money. He does flip homes. He is starting to try to start his own business. So the fact that people think, oh, he has all this money, he doesn't care about money, I think money is status. It matters to him. And I think his pride's been hurt a little bit with what happened with Nick Foles and all these guys getting money. And then third, I think the last topic I want to touch on is in reference to like where he's going to go. I think John Lynch warned him with San Fran, and they didn't make that happen. But I think this time around, it's very possibility that if he falls off a little bit during the season, I could see him finishing his career in San Fran and then paying him big dollars.
That last thing's not going to happen. They're either going to ride out with Garoppolo, or he flames out, or they are going to do something with, you know, C.J. Beathard, whoever the backup's there, or Kyle Shanahan will do whatever the hell he wants to. You know, will kick and scream until he can maybe trade for the guy in Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, who he's obsessed with for whatever stupid reason.
This
he's not
is
going
why
to San Francisco.
Being in day six of talking about Tom Brady's contract is rough, because now we're effectively theorizing as to whether or not the Patriots will trade him mid-season to somebody else because there's a lack of a no-trade clause in his new contract.
I'm glad he mentioned the no-trade thing, though. Shame on me. I should have gotten here earlier to try to find the audio to pull it, because, son of a bee, my pal Chris Gasper, who's normally here, Ted, during the 4 o'clock hour on Friday, wouldn't you know who dropped a nugget about a no-trade clause last night during the Patriots pregame show? Chris, I'm not that close to Tom Brady's camp, Gasper. Crisp, I wish you'd stop saying that I'm close to the Brady camp, Gasper. He mentioned that they've promised not to trade Tom Brady. He, according to Beatle, we were talking about in the postgame too, or, you know, we were talking off the air. Yeah, Chris dropped it twice last night. Just gets it right in there like a knife. They just like, ooh, the silent assassin, Chris Gasper, saying there's a promise not to trade Tom Brady. Sounds like a handshake agreement, a gentleman's agreement. Tom feels paranoid about that. Gee, I wonder why. Because Bill's ready to move on from a 40-year-old quarterback, a 42-year-old quarterback. But of course he had that nugget, that SOB. Oh,
Oh, you don't know. I'm not that close to the Brady camp. Uh-huh.
One open phone line if you want to join us, 617-779-0985. It is an agenda-free Friday. Coming up is we'll continue to talk a lot about the Patriots. Preseason win last night. Big one over the Detroit Lions. I know you feel like this team has a mindset change going into 2019, Ted. I want to get to your thoughts on that coming up. Long commercial-free segment. Again, your phone calls as well. One open line, 617-779-0985. Agenda-free Friday on Felger and Mass.
Sports. Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Felger and Mass.
Just your classic sports radio sort of thing. Opinion, phone call, commercial.
The stories of the day.
Claire, put the desk, we're all down!
In their unique way.
This is what we do.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Long commercial-free segment here on Felger and Mass, Agenda-Free Friday. And before we get to your calls, Jim Murray and Ted Johnson in for Mike and Tony today. You feel there's going to be a mindset change to the 2019 New England Patriots. What do you mean by that, Ted?
Okay, just think of this time last year. What was going on this time last year? I remember I moved back into the city, back into this area, right around, you know, a year ago this month. And I'll never forget, and I think we were talking about this when I was on with you last Friday, was, man, it's just... I can't believe people are still talking about Malcolm Butler. They're just talking about Malcolm. I mean, that was like 6 months ago. The Super Bowl feels like, it was in February, and it's now August. You're still talking about Malcolm Butler?
That one cut deep, Ted, and we never really got a true answer as to why, you know, he got benched for the biggest game of the year.
And don't kid yourself. You guys wanted to know. The fans wanted to know. But so did the players. And they never got answers either. And you could just tell that was hanging over that team all season long. The Malcolm Butler decision, losing the Super Bowl to the Philadelphia Eagles, affected how that 2018 Patriots team started that season. And they were sleepwalking through that entire season, I thought. Okay? You could just tell that they just weren't playing with confidence and freely and just the swag that they typically do. And then, it's one of those things where I feel like, Jim, where they got to the end of the season, like, man, if we just beat the Jets and the Bills, we might get a first-round bye, man. I mean, 11-5 get us a first-round bye in the AFC. You got the Kansas City Chiefs.
And then they got help from Houston, who lost to Philly late in the season.
Right. Yeah. The LA Chargers had a better record than you, but they were second in the division, so they had to play on wild card weekend. Yep. So it was like, it was all lined up kind of perfect for you to get a bye. And so it was kind of like, all right, let's snap out of this. Almost like, all right, look, can we just let go of what happened in the Super Bowl last year? Because we got it all laid out right in front of us, even though we have not had our best season. And it wasn't that regular season. Comparatively speaking to the typical standards that have been set here.
It sucked.
And then it just, okay, you finish up with two cupcakes. Things clicked. That offense clicked in that last game. Two games after Josh Gordon got suspended. The defense, they were playing better, but they really played well in that Bills game at home. And then you get a bye week, and then you get the L.A. Chargers, who already played wild card weekend against a very physical Ravens team. They went back to the West Coast, then flew back out to the East Coast to play you. It was like they didn't have a chance when they got off the bus. So it kind of lined up perfect for them. So I think they just snapped out of it is my point. This year, this team knows how to win with a bullseye on its back. This team this franchise, I should say, knows how to play, at a high level, even though they had just come off of winning Super Bowls. They, you know, that 02 team, we didn't. After we won the Super Bowl in 01, we didn't know how to handle it. We went at 03. That 04 team knew how to handle the success from the 03 season because a lot of us were on that 02 team that couldn't make the playoffs after the 01 season. So this team, this franchise knows how to prepare itself mentally after coming off of a Super Bowl. A lot of teams don't. This franchise does. And so I just think they're in a better place collectively, mentally speaking, now at this time of year than they were last year at this time of year.
And for those that might have missed it earlier too, you feel like, you know, you already see that there's probably a lot of confidence on the defensive side of things. I mean, 9 sacks last night, granted preseason game, but you got a lot of guys that have been there for a while now, and there's probably a lot of confidence going on that side of the ball and a lot of trust as well.
Yeah, tons of it. I mean, you got veteran leadership at the safety position. Pat Chung's respected. McCourty's been there for what, going into his 11th year. Stephon Gilmore's considered the best at his position. He's got confidence out the wazoo. Jamie Collins is coming back for his second tour, and Bill's loving him up, like heaping praise on him.
Was doing it in the pregame last night again, too.
Okay, building him up. It's like, I think of, like, that's the most random kind of analogy here, but, you know, in Moneyball, was it Scott Hattieburg? They moved him to first base.
Yep.
All right, Scotty, you know, balls are going through his legs and off his chest, and hey, you're doing great. All right, Jamie Collins isn't Scott Hattieburg, but the point is, he's loving him up. He's giving him all kinds of praise. And so, you know, Jamie Collins goes out there and balls last night. You know, you got Dante Hightower, who's settled into his role. He's kind of made his mark here. There's just a lot of Michael Bennett's coming here, going into his 11th season. He wants some of what the Patriots can give him. So there's just a lot of veteran guys that are established that I think are just in good places mentally. And it just kind of is a recipe for success and a recipe for really having an elite defense. I mean, this defense, the kind of the way it's made up, the veterans, reminds me a lot of that 04 defense where you look around at all three levels of that defense, D-line, linebacker, secondary, and you go, I mean, who's going to beat us? And I think they're going to have that mindset this year.
Yeah, you piqued my interest. You mentioned 02. What happened with you guys that year? I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the only time in this Brady Belichick era they ever lost 4 weeks in a row. You guys lost after the bye. You started 3-0, I think. Like, coming off the Super Bowl, was it you too beat up? The mentality wasn't right? Like, what happened in 2002?
That's a really good question. I just don't think we knew how to handle it. I can't remember if there were injuries. I don't think there was, like, any major or significant injuries to the team at that point. But, man, yeah, we got ran on against the Chargers. We lost a couple of games early. That maybe rocked our confidence a little bit, but that's a good question. I mean, we ended up winning 9 games that year and needed help to get in. We didn't.
05, you guys were injury ravaged. That one I remember.
Yeah. I retired before that year. Yeah. So I can't speak to that, unfortunately, that year as much, but, the 02 team, I just think we just didn't know how to handle being, you know, we were the darlings the year before. We came out of nowhere. We snuck up on everybody. We used that underdog kind of narrative to our advantage. In 02, we didn't have that. So we maybe were a little bit more exposed, and then we were able to recalibrate and realize, okay, let's go. To 03, we won a ton of close games in 03.
Yeah.
But we did. It was so funny. I mean, if we were close in a game in the fourth quarter, I knew we were winning. It was one of those things, so it just that confidence – winning close games week in, week out. We just built on that. We were able to win the whole thing. And then 04, it was like we were so confident in ourselves, so confident. And I think the defense in particular on this team is going to feel like a lot of the way we felt like in that defensive meeting rooms in 04, just like, man, we got talent at all three levels. No one can beat us.
I could do Patriots story time with Ted Johnson all day, in case you didn't notice from last week or today. I think Greg in Shrewsbury wants to do the same. Hey, Greg.
Yes.
You're on, buddy.
Go ahead.
Hey, am I on?
Yes.
I want to give a shout out to Ted Johnson. You're my favorite Patriot of all time, sir. I'm 38. I was a young adult when I got to see you play, and I got to enjoy many Sundays enjoying Sledgehead Ted bring the thunder.
Thanks,
and I
sir.
Just want you to know, sir, there's nothing like you. You are amazing, and I think you're even better off the field. The way that you talk
and your openness about everything post-football you've been through, I think has a huge impact on people, and I think it's amazing. And I just want you to know, tons of respect. Shrewsbury, Massachusetts loves you. Wardsy loves you. 5-2 all the way, dude.
All right.
Team Ted.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks,
Greg. That's very nice, man.
The people, and I did this to you when I first met you down in Houston. We're down there for the Super Bowl, the 28-3 game. I was like, 52.
it means a lot. I'll never take that for granted. And I appreciate the just referencing the struggles and the battles I had. I was very reluctant when I came on radio to talk about that. It's weird. It kind of happened organically, and I realized that that it helped people. So I've been open about my struggles with the addictions, and I'm on a good track right now. I'm so pleased to be in Boston working, and right now on a really good track. It was not that the last 15 years I've been retired, 14 years, man. There was some really really dark days. And I've pulled out of it a couple times, so I'm very grateful, and I appreciate those words, man. That means a lot to me, so thank you.
Good stuff, Ted. And I appreciate hearing it, too. And anyone that can be as open as you can be in talking about those kind of things and struggling with the demons that you have, I think can help others, even if it's just one person. You do make an impact.
And that makes me feel good, so I'll continue to do that.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.